Chapter 4, Romans chapter 4. It's a blessing again. I want to say it is a blessing to be here. It's good to see you here this morning in the service. I desire your prayers as you pray for us a little while this morning. This has never been easy for me. It never has been easy. And I understand what the Apostle Paul said when he called himself a prisoner of Christ. He felt like he's been locked up in with the responsibility of the preaching of the gospel. It gives me a great fear to stand before you and preach. It always has. I never have got used to it. Don't need your sympathy, just your prayers. Amen. The Lord will help us. And we are reminded, as the Apostle Paul said, the necessity of the preaching of the gospel was laid upon him. And he said, the responsibility is given to him. And he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a just God. Amen. And I know that the deeds that I do, I'll be held responsible and accountable for them. And so will you. Amen. In chapter number 4 in the book of Romans, begin reading with verse number 16. Stand with us and let's read this together. Read down through the remainder of the chapter. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which were not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O God, again this morning. We come as humble as we know how, thanking you, dear Lord, for every blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to be able to come into your house one more time. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these that are bowed with us. Lord, you know the need of the hour. I pray, Lord, that you'd grant it one more time. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us power to preach your word, Lord. Give us an understanding. And Lord, help us by your Spirit with power, Lord, to preach your word. We ask you now to go with us in the service and what you do for us. We'll be careful to thank you and we'll praise you for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help me, for a few minutes on the foundation of our faith. I want to talk to us on two particular points here in chapter number 4 and some in chapter number 3. I want to talk to us, first of all, the words about this foundation, and then I want to talk about the works of this foundation of faith. Now, the doctrine of justification is a doctrine that had been hidden for many of years. The Catholic Church had taken this particular doctrine and suppressed it and put it on the back burner because They could not understand that justification doesn't come by works, but that it comes by faith. And you remember that monk, Martin Luther, you remember him in your studies of history. The Bible, history tells us that this monk was somewhat of a rebel in his Catholic faith. And he was reading one night and in the book of Romans where it said, the just shall live by faith. The Catholic Church was demanding them that they live by their works and that they would constantly have to be paying a penance along the way, paying for their justification, paying for their salvation. It got so intense until the priests began to put more upon the people than they could actually bear. And you can imagine feeling the responsibility of paying penance by works, trying to get salvation, trying to find justification. And how you remember Job asked the question, how shall a man be just? How can a man be right with God? And so it was way back in Job's day, which was a contemporary to back in Abraham's day, when he's talking about right with God. And so justification had been suppressed for many of years. And in the late 1500s, when Martin Luther began to start that reformation of the church and began to bring about the doctrine of justification, then people began to realize by the Holy Ghost and the reading of the Scripture their own selves, that justification come by faith alone. Amen. And that righteousness is imputed by faith according to Abraham, which was the father of faith. And so now the Apostle Paul begins to indoctrinate these people here, his people, about how man can be right with God. They also believed in the workings of the law. They believed that a man can be just by living the law. But the problem was that man failed in living the law. The law was never intended for a man to be saved by, but it was a schoolmaster to bring men to grace and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now the Apostle Paul has taken his people, the Jew, and he is laying them down the doctrine and the very foundation of faith, and their foundation of their salvation does not come by the works of the law and justification neither, but it comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful word. Amen. And when you talk about justification and being by faith, and the Bible said, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. He said, for if Abraham were justified by works, he said he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He said, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And righteousness never came by the law, because the demands of it was too high, and nobody could live the law. And the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul mentions about the law killing us, that the law that was good became, that it slew him, it literally killed him. So that was good to him, and to those people had become bad. But the Apostle Paul said, nay, that we might be brought by grace through faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now he lays down the foundation words of this justification. He uses the word, first of all, he uses the word grace. He says in chapter number 3 in verse 24, being justified freely by grace, and being justified freely by grace. And in other words, it didn't cost you anything. Amen. And faith. And the Bible tells us it's the only way that we can be saved is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And so we have that wonderful word of grace.
grace. And now let me stop right there and say something here just a second about this issue of grace. And now we're talking about righteousness, and we talk about sin. And the problem that we had was a sin problem. And because of sin, death entered into the world. Death did not come first and then sin, but sin came and then death came into the world. And the law killed us. It slew us because we could not live the law, because the law revealed to us that we were sinners. And therefore it never was meant to save us. It left us hanging for the day of grace. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm glad I live in the day of grace. Amen. Then you have that word of faith. Amen. That grace is given to us by faith in the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, for being justified freely of His grace through the redemption, He said, that is in Christ Jesus. And by the way, amen, I'm glad I'm redeemed. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, that's a word that means bought back. Yeah. What had happened, death had purchased us. Sin had purchased us. And because of sin, the account was laid upon us. The death penalty was laid upon all of us. And because of the redemption of Jesus Christ that died on the cross of Calvary, He redeemed us that we don't have to die. Hallelujah. But through Him, we have everlasting life. Amen. There's that word faith. And then there's that word blood. He said, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. He said to declare, He said, the righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And so now the Apostle Paul uses that word blood. You remember that the penalty for sin is death. And so the demands upon not being able to live the law was even death. Death slew us. And because we could not live the law, we failed and fell under the condemnation of sin and to shame. And therefore, the Bible tells us that death, and there had to be a fulfilling of the law. There had to be somebody to fulfill the righteousness of the laws of God. And because the demand was so high. And so now we know Jesus Christ came into the world to fulfill every aspect of the law. Amen. To a jot and a tittle, nothing was left undone. Christ did not come to do away with the law, but He came to fulfill the law. And the law and the righteousness of God. And therefore, the Bible tells us He did that by the remission of sin. Well, if He did that, what was the remission of sin? The blood of Jesus Christ, the atonement. When He went to the cross of Calvary and He died on that cross and shed or gave His life's blood and for the remission of our sins. And I want to tell you that precious blood of the Lamb of God, one drop had enough power to cover the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Blood. What a word in justification. You got to have it. Amen. You got to have it. Amen. And then there's that word, no law. He said, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. No law. There is no law. Law has no longer a hold on me. Amen. Amen. Now, understand justification. When we talk about justification, we do something wicked. Let's say we do something ungodly or wicked to a fellow man. And then what we use, we say, well, I was justified in doing that. The reason I did that was because they did what they did. And therefore I'm justified in my actions. The prisons are full of people who really felt justified. You're right? Amen. But when God talks about justification, it's a different word. It's a legal term. Amen. That takes away that guilt. Amen. And it's a declaration of our innocence. Now, having said that, you can be a sinner and still justified. But you have to have faith in Christ. I sin after I got saved. But I'm still declared justified in Christ Jesus, my blessed Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, that he didn't look into my heart and said, we'll justify him by what he, by the way he lives. But thank God I'm justified by what Christ did on the cross of Calvary in the fulfilling of the law of God. Amen. The fulfilling of the law of God. Well, then let's look at the works. We've seen the words. Let's look at the works of this foundation of our faith. First of all, justification removes the penalties. Amen. Removes the penalties. Now you think about that, the penalty. What was the penalty? Death. Death. Every one of us was guilty, for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. There's none righteous. No, not one. He said, every man is declared guilty in the sight of God. Amen. But now he says that justification takes away the penalty. Yeah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I don't have to worry about dying. Amen. My penalty has been removed, thank God, because of Christ Jesus, my blessed Savior, that died in my stead at Calvary's cross, that I could live. I can look death right in the eye and say, you're not going to get me, amen, because I'm justified in the sight of God. I'm going to tell you, the Bible talks about a death angel. The Bible talks about that pale horse called death. And then one of these days, they'll get a phone call at the funeral home. William is gone. Come and pick him up. But I want you to know, amen, that I've not died. I'm more alive than I've ever been. I thank God because of the justification and the penalty has been removed. Christians don't die. We don't die. The penalty is removed. What's the penalty? Death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But then the second benefit of the workings of justification is the restoration of favor. Favor with God. Favor with God. Restored. I want you to think about that. What Adam lost in the garden, we gained it all back in Christ. Amen. God himself would come down every day and fellowship with Adam. Every day. In the cool of the day, he'd come down. And his voice would speak to Adam. And Adam would rejoice in the favor and the fellowship with God. God's favor. Oh, Adam, you're the apple of my eye. Amen. You are the apple of my eye. That's what the Bible said. We're the apple of his eye, and he made us. But then Adam transgressed in the garden, and that favor had been broken. Adam, I wished I'd have never even made man. It's what he said in Noah's day. He said he repented that he ever made man. Boy, there was a drastic change in the attitude of God. Think about it. With Adam, you're the apple of my eye. And then it, with man, as Adam multiplied, he said, I wished I'd have never made him. Wished I'd have never made him. I'm going to tell you, the favor and the fellowship had been broken. But I want you to know there was a restoration of the favor of God. Woo! Hallelujah. When the Lord Jesus, God's own Son, was sent into the world, robed in flesh, born of a virgin, came into the world. Hallelujah. God said once again, you're the apple of my eye. Amen. He looked at the second Adam and said, you're the apple of my eye. Is restored. Our faith in Christ is restored. If the condemnation was laid upon all men because of the transgression of Adam, amen, then the free gift was bestowed upon all man, the favor of God, amen, by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and faith in him. I don't care what you say. That's good preaching. Amen. That's good preaching. Woo! Hallelujah. It does my heart good. Woo! To know that I'm again on the apple of God's eye through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Son. Restored. Once again, listen. When we put our faith in Christ, God puts His Spirit on the inside of us. And that favor and fellowship goes with us all the time.
Amen.
All the time.
Yeah.
Every day. I got up this morning with favor and with fellowship because of His Spirit in me.
Yeah.
I'll get up again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I lay down tonight with God's favor and fellowship with me. When I turn to Him, He turns to me.
Amen.
When I get out of fellowship with Him, I'm still in favor with God.
Amen.
Amen. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
When I get out of fellowship with Him, I'm still the apple of His eye. Hallelujah. Because He doesn't look at me. And when He sees me, He sees the Son.
Amen.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, sometimes I don't like what my boys are doing. But boy, they're my boys. I love them anyhow. That's the same way it is with the Lord. That fellowship and favor is restored back to us. The third thing how that this works does, it reckons righteousness. It reckons righteousness. Well, let me talk about that just a minute. These are blessings. It reckons unto us the righteousness of God, or imputes. I read that word, impute.
Yeah.
We're probably more familiar, being old country folks, with the word reckon more than we are the word impute.
That's right.
Amen. It's given to me.
Yeah.
The righteousness is given to me. It's
yeah.
put on my account.
Amen.
Placed on my account. My account
yeah.
was so high that I could not ever pay what I owed
yeah.
because of that sin debt. If I'd wrote a list of all the things that sin had lured me into, and I chose sin, if I could list them all on the walls of this building, one time Jesus Christ came and He went to the cross of Calvary.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And He said that it's finished. It's paid for in full.
Yeah.
And God had taken all of that sin
yeah.
and He put it under the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And He gave me one word, righteousness.
Yeah.
Where I was once declared guilty, He said, now in Christ and the foundation of my faith in the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm declared righteous.
Yeah.
Answered the question of Job, how can a man be just or righteous
yeah.
in the sight of God?
Right.
I promise you, it's not anything I've done. Not anything you've done, but it's everything that He's done.
Amen.
He said, now we have peace with God.
Amen.
Amen. We have peace with God.
Yeah.
What makes that peace is the issue of righteousness.
Yeah,
He's a holy God.
Amen.
He don't put up with sin. Neither will He compromise with sin. He hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. Thank God. And He's taken that issue of making that man in a right standing, and because of the righteousness, those Jews that Paul was addressing, he's bringing them back to their father Abraham, which was the father of their nation.
Yes.
They weren't like you and I. God made them a nation. He made them a people. He made Himself a people, a nation. And he took Abraham then, and He said, I'm going to make you the father of this nation.
Yeah.
And it's going to be multiplied. Your seed will be multiplied as the sand is the seashore. I'm going to make you that great nation. And Abraham said, well, how? He said, seeing I'm fatherless. He said, I will. And he leaves it. He leaves it. And Abraham goes about his years and years and years. And then Abraham becomes nearly 100 years old. And seeing that he is old and maybe not, maybe as dead, not able to have children anymore, then God quickened him.
Yeah.
Amen. And Abraham then, Sarah conceives a child of Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac Jacob. And it goes on down. and he begins to be multiplied, and he becomes a great nation. But they were people of faith, not people. Listen to me, not people that were people that were nailed to the law. They were supposed to be people of faith.
Amen.
To the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, to the Greek, all. All that'll trust in Jesus Christ has the reckon of righteousness given to them. Now, listen. If you follow me long enough, you'll see that I'm a sinner. And I see it. But then when you get to thinking about it, what God sees is different than what you see. What he sees, he sees my heart, where the blood of Jesus had been applied. When I had faith in God and his grace graced me with eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. He sees all of that. All of that. And he declares me righteous. Somebody said, how do you know what gives you the right to go into God's beautiful heaven? What gives you the right to go into God's beautiful heaven? If it's not justification, then you don't have no right to get there.
Amen.
It's the very foundation of our faith.
Amen.
Amen. It takes away the penalty. It removes, listen, it removes all of that guilt away from us. Amen. And it makes us stand righteous in the sight of God. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you justified by faith? Is your salvation that you claim to have, are you hanging on to it because of some baptism or some way of a working where you joined a church and were baptized in a church, and maybe you do good works, you don't cuss, you don't drink, you don't run around, carouse around, and therefore you feel like you're a good moral person, you don't steal, cheat, or any of that. You feel like, well, all these good things. I believe it was Brother Mickey said something the other Sunday that I guess prompted my heart. But he said that a co-worker said, I don't need nobody telling me right from wrong. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. We need that desperately. Because there's a righteous standing before God that allows us to get in to his family.
Yes.
And it's by faith.
Yes.
Abraham was the father of faith. And therefore, all of them that were in Abraham had to come by faith. And we also that come by faith come through Abraham also. He's a father of faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I'd like for us to stand.